Welcome to KRDO News Radio's The Extra, the show that connects you with the community, the issues, the topics, the people that are important to all of us here in Southern Colorado. Well, this is a busy time of year for the Palmer Land Conservancy, a regional land conservation champion. Weeks ago, we talked about the Local Food Guide. That's a comprehensive guide to local food producers throughout Southern Colorado. Today, we're going to hear about upcoming engagement opportunities that connect local food and the community, including Bike the Bessemer, Night on the Ranch, and much more. Joining us this morning here on The Extra, we're so pleased to have as our guests, first of all, Dylan O'Hare with the Palmer Land Conservancy. Dylan, welcome to The Extra.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. And our other guest, Will Frost, with the Frost Livestock Company. Will, taking some time out from what I assume is a very, very busy job. Will, thanks for being here.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to start with Dylan. Dylan, why don't you give us a little background on the Palmer Land Conservancy? Tell us about the organization.
Yeah, sure thing. So Palmer Land Conservancy is a regional land conservation organization that believes in the simple truth that land is essential to our quality of life. And our mission is to protect land and water for the well-being of both people and for nature. And so for the last 45 years, we have protected 137,000 acres of land. And that includes 20 public parks and open spaces that you might be familiar with in the Colorado Springs area. But all, in addition to that, over 100,000 of those acres are conserved working farms and ranches. And those are the properties and the families that provide our local food and scenic vistas that we drive through so frequently and really identify with here in Colorado.
How exactly does Palmer Land Conservancy engage with local ranchers and local farmers?
Yeah, so we engage with local farmers and ranchers in quite a few ways. As a land trust, we're able to work with farmers and ranchers to help conserve their land. For us, this usually means traditional tools like conservation easements. And those are tools that help conserve a property right now and for generations to come. And it allows these working farms and ranches to both remain in working hands, but also as productive agricultural operations. And conservation easements and these conservation tools, they're also not for every farmer, rancher, family, property owner either. So we want to make sure that we're supporting our local food systems and these families, these producers, in other ways as well. And for us, one way that we do that is try to raise awareness and drive business directly to those farmers and ranchers. So we've already talked about our Southern Colorado Local Food Guide. That's a tool that people can use to go out and get access to these folks that are producing our local food. But we're also raising awareness and excitement with events like Bike the Bessemer, where we bring people onto the land and really highlight the importance of these local farms and ranches.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about Bike the Bessemer. It's set for September 17th. It's billed as a unique opportunity to connect water, food, and agriculture for the participants. Why don't you tell our listeners about the event, what it entails?
Yeah, we're really excited about Bike the Bessemer. This will be the second year that we've done it. So it's September 17th. It's not this Saturday, but next Saturday. And what it is it's an agritourism event. You know, here in Pueblo County, we have a breadbasket of agriculture. Some of the best produce comes right off of these farms, and they're all clustered in this short geographical area, which creates a great opportunity for folks to go out and not just see one farm or farm stand, but go to a few different ones. And that's why agritourism is important to us. And so Bike the Bessemer is an 11-mile bike ride that goes through the eastern Pueblo County region. And what we do is we stop at a couple of different farms in the irrigation ditch to talk to some of the farmers and ranchers and water managers that really make everything happen out here. So it gives people an opportunity to learn about where our food comes from and how it actually gets to our plates. After that 11-mile bike ride, we wrap it up with a farm-to-table lunch where we work with a local chef who goes out to the very farms that we are visiting to buy all of the produce to put together this beautiful late summer meal for everybody to enjoy for lunch. And then you have a whole rest of your day to go do what you want, shop at some farm stands, get some roasted chilies. It's a really fun day.
Okay. Wow. Sounds fun. What kind of farms, what farms specifically will you be stopping at along the tour?
Yeah. So there's three stops total, and two of them are going to be with farmers. First, we stop at the DeSanti Farm Stand, which is a farm stand on South Road. The DeSanti family has been farming for generations, and they raise all kinds of crops, but there'll definitely be a lot of chili roasting going on at that time. So we'll be speaking with the DeSantis about their operation, and then we'll also stop by the Millburger Chili Roasting Facility. So the Millburgers are also a family that have been farming in this region for a while. And what they've done is built a facility, because they grow so many chilies, that, on a larger scale, takes all of this produce and packages it into products and other, bags and things that we can see at the stores. So it's a local farm stand and then a production facility. So we're really looking at what that food system looks like here in Pueblo County.
Looking at that literal farm to table cycle there. So this is billed as a bike event, and there's a big difference between a bicyclist like myself, more of a lazy day sort of bicyclist, and someone like my colleague here at KRDO News Radio, Andrew Rogers, who tackles very, very long and hard bike rides that will really challenge him. So what kind of biker do you need to be, bicyclist do you need to be for this event?
This event is for everybody. Luckily, what we have here in Eastern Pueblo County are pretty, it's a pretty flat region. It's a leisurely 11 mile bike ride, a couple of small hills, but we've had young kids all even do the ride with their parents as well. So it's a leisurely ride that's for everybody. And I suppose that, if you are an avid biker, you can get your miles in early in the morning or later in the day, and this can be kind of a cool down or a warm up for you.
Okay, so that would make it more challenging. That's true, because you need a way to burn off the calories, huh? We have right now our focus right now on the Palmer Land Conservancy here on the Extra. Dylan O'Hare was just speaking. He's with the Conservancy, and Dylan, I want to mention to our listeners that if you'd like to learn more or purchase tickets to Bike the Bessemer, go to palmerland.org. We'll also be sure to get that website linked up on our podcast page. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about how the Conservancy and its farmers and ranchers liaison with each other. That and more as the Extra continues. We're back with the Extra, and our guest, Dylan O'Hare, was just talking to us about the Palmer Land Conservancy and their upcoming event, September 17th, called Bike the Bessemer. Right now, though, we want to bring on Will Frost, who's with Frost Livestock Company, the namesake of his company. And Will, first of all, welcome to the Extra.
Thank you. How are you today?
Doing just fine. So this is what I know about Frost Livestock. It's operated at Fountain Creek Ranch and is a staple in the Fountain community. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your operation?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a third generation farm and ranch here in the Fountain Creek Valley. We're family owned and operated and have been since we were incorporated in 1962, originally as a cow-calf operation, and in the last 20 to 30 years, we've moved into more land conservation and heavier farming presence. So we produce lamb, beef, grass alfalfa hay, and a small amount of vegetables for our CSA farm share every Saturday.
And that sounds like one of the programs that allows you to make your produce available to the public, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really useful tool to bring folks down to the farm so they can see exactly where their food's being grown. And it is, you know, also very helpful for us because we don't have to go to town to distribute these vegetables, and it keeps the, you know, the scale at the proper size while still, you know, producing food for our community.
And what are some of the other food items that people might be able to obtain that were either grown or bred right there at Frost Livestock?
We have a pretty large grass-fed, grass-finished beef clientele. That's a big thing that people buy. We also partner with Lockhart Honey Farms, and so we sell honey, alfalfa honey, off of at the farm stand too down here. As far as the vegetables go, I mean, we believe in a diversity of, you know, in the varieties that we grow. So we have beets, carrots, tomatoes, zucchini, squash, basil. I mean, the whole array of vegetables that you might find on a diversified farm.
Mm. And you said you're third generation, so I imagine a lot of members of your family are heavily involved. What are some of the challenges in running a ranch?
Well, I think the way that we run our ranch and farm is, you know, very steeped in the ideology of holistic resource management or regenerative growing. So we don't use any type of chemical, herbicide, pesticide, synthetic fertilizer. So it's a lot more work. We have to hand weed all the vegetables. We have to rotationally graze the farmland in the winter to, you know, replenish the soil. I think the amount of labor that goes in can be probably the biggest challenge. And then marketing has also always been kind of a challenge. Getting awareness to our community about what products we offer, you know, pricing, where to pick them up, and all that stuff. And that's where, you know, Palmer Land Conservancy and the SoCo Food Guide has come in very handy. It is a way that, you know, we don't have to put any input. This wonderful organization does it for us, and then, you know, the community can come directly to us and get their veggies and meat.
Love that. Well, Dylan, I understand Palmer Land Conservancy is hosting a night on the ranch this evening at Fountain Creek Ranch. Tell us about the event.
Yeah, definitely. So a night on the ranch is our annual fundraiser and a conservation celebration. It's an opportunity for us to gather with our community members and our supporters to really celebrate the work that we've done over the past year and also all of the work that lies ahead. And it's an exciting evening right on the ranch, where guests will be able to enjoy a farm-to-table dinner and ranch tours. And, you know, during the evening, part of the programming includes a short conservation film, and we're going to celebrate a local rancher from the Wet Mountain Valley with a lifetime achievement award, and we'll also have an exciting auction. And I can't spill the beans yet.
Oh.
But we've got some pretty exciting items that I'm really looking forward to seeing the auction. So it's just going to be a celebration. It's a wonderful evening. We're partnering with Fuel and Iron, who are opening a food hall with local chefs to put on the farm to table dinner. Like I said, it's going to be an exciting evening.
And you picked Fountain Creek Ranch specifically. Why did you feel like this would be the perfect backdrop for an event like this?
Yeah. I mean, the Fountain Creek Ranch is perfect for so many reasons. The ranch, along with the family, I mean, we're talking with Will right now, they embody the importance of working lands and the value of conservation. They operate, their agricultural operation is a shining example of how conservation can be a great tool for these working landowners. And in addition to that, throughout the year, they host events like weddings and these farm-to-table dinners pretty frequently. So I'd encourage people to go check out those opportunities, because for us, the folks that are trying to put on an event, they make it so easy for us. They've got infrastructure in place. The operational flow is just really, really easy. They're set up to go. So that makes it really easy on our end. And then not only that, like, as you can imagine, it's a gorgeous property. It sits right there on Fountain Creek, and you can see Pike Peak is just this beautiful backdrop. And, you know, the event, it's a dinner. So that evening, it's just a gorgeous sunset, and you can't ask for a better place to host an event.
Right. Like, usually when I'm getting the view from Fountain Valley area, I end up, I'm in traffic. So it'd be nice to be out in nature on a wonderful bucolic piece of land and enjoying that view. We want to let our audience know that if you'd like to learn more about A Night on the Ranch, definitely check out their website, palmerland.org. And if you've been hearing Will describe the Fountain Creek Ranch, you can learn more by going to frost-livestock.com. Again, Frost Livestock operates at the Fountain Creek Ranch. We have to take a short break here. We'll be back with more of The Extra in just a couple minutes. Welcome back to The Extra, and we're talking about what has been a busy time of year, continues to be, for the Palmer Land Conservancy. That is a regional land conservation champion that does so much for us here in Southern Colorado and around the region. And we were talking earlier about that Bike the Bessemer event. It promises to bring a lot of fun on September 17th. And Dylan, the Bessemer Initiative surely is an undertaking. Can you share with listeners some of the details about the Bessemer Farmland Conservation Project?
Yeah, certainly. So we look to support farmers, ranchers, working landowners in so many ways. And we have a really special initiative going on here in Pueblo County called the Bessemer Farmland Conservation Project. And what it is it's a community-driven effort to help retain a critical mass of irrigated farmland in production here in Pueblo County. And the reason that's important is because as cities grow, they do need access to water. And oftentimes those big secure water sources are rural communities. It's the working farms. And what we have when we see this demand for rural water from urban communities is a buy and dry. An urban or a municipality buys water from farmers, and that water leaves the land, and the land is then dried. So we're working here in Pueblo County to mitigate the impacts of what buy and dry looks like. Because when the water leaves the land and the land is dry, then it's no longer a working farm or ranch, and the communities can really suffer. The impacts are really devastating when water does leave the land. So Pueblo Board of Water Works purchased water from local farmers here in Pueblo County back in 2009 to really secure their water portfolio in an innovative, forward-thinking way. And so since then, we've been working with Pueblo Board of Water Works and these landowners to craft a solution that can, again, avoid some of those negative impacts when that water does come off of the farm. So it's a community-driven initiative that's going to hopefully make sure that these rural communities can stay whole for generations to come, all while Pueblo Board of Water Works can get the water that it purchased a number of years ago.
Right, because when you suck the water out through, you know, signing away those rights, I mean, sometimes that land isn't as attractive to future buyers and can definitely be detrimental, like you said, to the community as a whole. So what entities do you bring in to work with you in terms of collaborating on this project and others like it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'd say first and foremost, it's the farmers here in Pueblo County. This entire project is driven by the community, and it's totally voluntary. It's the folks that want to work on a project like this that have the opportunity. So we work with these farming families first and foremost. I've already mentioned Pueblo Board of Water Works, who's a wonderful partner. They're interested in protecting the community here in Pueblo, making sure that they have a secure water future, but they're also interested in helping to make sure that these rural communities in eastern Pueblo County have a future as well. In addition to Pueblo Board of Water Works and these local farming families, there's interest from around the country in this innovative and exciting initiative. So we are working with folks like at the Colorado Water Conservation Board and and other water experts that are interested in seeing success here so that it can be implemented. This project can be implemented throughout the rest of the Western United States.
Kind of showing it up or holding it up as a model for others. We need to take a short break here. Will Frost of Frost Livestock Company and Dylan O'Hare with the Palmer Land Conservancy, you were just listening to him, are our guests today. We need to take a short break. We'll be back with more of The Extra after this. We're back with our final segment of The Extra. And prior to the break, we were hearing from Dylan with the Palmer Land Conservancy about some of the ways that the Conservancy works in terms of collaborating on projects like the Bessemer Farmland Conservation Project. And I know it's in a different area, but Will Frost with Frost Livestock Company out of the Fountain area, when you hear that, does some of their message, does it resonate with you as to what you're hearing and why it's important?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I always tell, you know, customers, folks that come down to the farm, that these types of organizations like Palmer Land Conservancy, Colorado Open Lands, you know, their work in conserving working farmland is kind of our real tool to keep, you know, our land as agricultural entities. We have urban encroachment all over the place. I mean, both Pueblo and Colorado Springs and Fountain, you know, they're growing as fast as they can. And these nonprofits and other organizations, you know, they take that stress off of us so that we can do what we love to do, which is produce food and meat and hay and, you know, just be agrarians. Mm-hmm. So it's very, I mean, their work is, yeah, very important.
Yeah, with the push for growth, you know, it's so easy to be a booster for growth because, you know, growth does lift up communities. But at the same time, there are things that are lost when there's not these protections and these collaborations in place, definitely. And before the break, we were also talking to Dylan about the Bessemer Project. And is this project unique to the region and the state, Dylan?
Yeah, you know, it is unique. What we're doing is we're using an innovative tool that hasn't been implemented anywhere in the county, the state, or even the country before. What we did is when Pueblo Board of Water Works went to change the use of the water rights that they purchased from agricultural to municipal, they had to do that in Division II Water Corps. So we went to the Division II Water Corps with them to have a provision added into their decree in the change case, and that allows us to move water from less productive farms to more productive farms, so that when dry up does occur, we're protecting the most productive farmland in the region. And you know that we are talking about water rights and water in the West gets pretty complicated, so we can leave it at a high level there, but this tool hasn't been used anywhere before. And I alluded to, you know, interest from around the country in the last segment. And that's why there's interest. It's because this tool, if it's proven to be useful and if it's proven to work, then again, it can be replicated throughout the Western United States and throughout Colorado, because what we're seeing here with municipal pressure on agricultural water supplies, that's not unique. We're seeing that all over the place. So if we can show that this tool works, which is what we're doing right now, it could be a really exciting opportunity for other organizations throughout the Western United States that are facing similar challenges.
Right. Certainly, we're hearing about that with the Colorado River and the Colorado River mainly when you're talking about some of the pressures put on it from states like Utah and California. And certainly a lot of these lessons might be applied there. So how is the Bessemer Project helping to, at its essence, it sounds like, save local farming?
Yeah. So this project is helping farmers in Pueblo County ensure that their working farms will continue to produce local food and receive its irrigation water now and for generations to come. And it's what this project does is it creates an opportunity and an alternative for these working landowners to what is currently being what's currently an option, which is, you know, selling their water or subdividing their property. These lands are the very foundation of our local food systems. And what we're hoping to do in helping to conserve these local farms is make sure that they have the resources and the tools that they need to continue to operate for generations to come.
Right, because when they cease to be a farm, all of a sudden that has ripple effects through the communities. You don't have the implement and tractor suppliers that employ, you know, dozens of people. You don't have the seed producers needed as much. I mean, so it does have definitely a wider impact than just one property. I mean, it goes to the very heart of some of these communities that many of us treasure in southern Colorado. So we have about 2 minutes left. I do want to pump up information about the Bike the Bessemer event that's coming up September 17th. If you would like to find out more, definitely go to palmerland.org. And there's also tonight this event, which is, you know, just sounds like a wonderful evening, a night on the ranch. And it is going to also incorporate some amazing, it sounds like, auction raffle items. So you'll definitely want to buy your tickets. If you have the night free tonight, you can also find out about that at palmerland.org. In our final minutes here, we have just about 30 seconds for each of you. Will, would you just like to say what you'd like our audience to take away from this conversation?
Yeah, I think, you know, the most important thing here is, you know, the cooperation between organizations like Palmer Land Conservancy and small farmers. The conservation of land and water is paramount to our survival. And I think, you know, supporting us directly is great, but also supporting Palmer is how we support all the rest of the farmers, too.
Great. Well, Will, thank you for joining us. And Dylan, any final thoughts that you'd like to impart?
Yeah, certainly. You know, for us, land lies at the center of everything for us at Palmer, and it's the backbone of agricultural operations for, you know, what Will is doing, but it's also where we go to recreate. It's where we go to escape. It's where we go to recharge. And having an opportunity to support organizations like Palmer or support local businesses like Frost Livestock is an incredible opportunity to support our own communities in a way that we can enjoy as well. And so I'd encourage people to go out and experience the land, do what makes you happy. And luckily there's an opportunity to do that with Bike the Bessemer coming up in 2 weekends. So just land is the center of it all for us, and conservation makes it all happen.
Well, my guest today, I'd like to thank you both, Dylan O'Hare with the Palmer Land Conservancy and Will Frost with Frost Livestock Company. We'll make sure we get both their organizations' URLs, their websites up on our podcast page so you can check them out. To my guests, thank you. To our listeners, big thanks again for joining us for this hour of conversation on The Extra.